So this evening, we're reading a verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Actually, it's not on the board, is it? Okay, forget it. Na prahrishyat priyam prahya. Okay. Na prahrishyat priyam prahya. Na dvijat prapya chapriyam stira buddhir asamudho brahmavid brahmani stittaha na prahrishyat priyam prapya na prahrishyat priyam prapya na dvijat prapya chapriyam na dvijat prapya chapriyam stira buddhir asamuddho stira buddhir asamuddho brahmavid brahmani stita brahmavid brahmani stita na prahrishyat priyam prapya na dvijat prapya chapriyam stira buddhir asamuddho brahmavid brahmani stita by the way that's na just in case anybody's interested ladies don't everybody speak at once okay go ahead yep na never.
Never.
Prahrishyat
rejoices.
Priyam
the pleasant.
Prapya
achieving.
Na
does not.
Udvijet
become agitated.
Prapya
obtaining.
Cha
also.
Apriyam,
the unpleasant.
Stira buddhihi,
self-intelligent.
Asamuddhaha,
unbewildered.
Brahmavit,
one who knows the Supreme perfectly.
Brahmani,
in the transcendence.
Stitaha,
situated.
Translation, a person who neither rejoices upon receiving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Responsibly, please repeat. A person who neither rejoices,
upon achieving something pleasant,
nor laments,
nor laments
upon obtaining something unpleasant,
who is self-intelligent,
who is unbewildered,
and who knows the science of God,
is already situated in transcendence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not this body, but is the fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body. This steadiness of mind is called sthira buddhi, or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul. Nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the situation of knowing the complete science of the Absolute Truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Na prahrishyat priyam prapya nadvijat prapya cha priyam stira buddhir asamuddha brahmavid brahmani stitaha. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon attaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. So, as we discuss almost every day, as all of us know who are members of the Krishna consciousness movement, the very beginning of spiritual life is to understand aham brahmasmi. I am not this body. Someone who thinks he is the body is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke, his atma buddhi, his self-intelligence or his yasya of this, his intelligence of himself is tridatu. Tridatu means kapha, pitta, and vayu, three elements in Ayurveda, mucus, bile, and air. The whole body comes from these three mixtures of these three elements, mucus, bile, and air. So someone who thinks he is this bag of mucus, bile, and air, kunape tridatuke svadi kalatradishu. He thinks also kalatra, beginning with his wife, that he is part of a clan, a family. I belong to this family, or this family is mine. Or boma idyadi, that my place of birth is worshipable. We have the best cricket team in the world, and we used to have anyway. Gary Sobers and others like that when they were, now we got beaten. Somebody who thinks that my place of birth is worshipable. And you see, Americans, they really think that they're the greatest country in the world. And so do the Iraqis. And so does... being prompted by Saddam Hussein. These things are going on. Yatirtha buddhi. Sometimes we have pious people also who are in ignorance, who think I am the body. I am Christian, I am Muslim, I am Hindu, I am Jew, I am Rastafarian, whatever. Sometimes people think that I am this body, this is a Christian body. And they go to holy places, especially when they go for taking a bath in a river. Yatirtha buddhi salile nakarichich janeshva vigyeshu saeva gokara. They take a bath, but so do the donkeys and asses and cows, and they all take bath in the holy river too. So what is the difference between you and a donkey? Once there was a king, and he had a minister whose name was Gopal Ban. So Gopal Ban was the court jester, the court comedian. He used to keep the king laughing, because the king has to keep laughing, otherwise he has so many serious businesses to do. He has to order someone to be executed. He has to increase taxes. He has whatever it is. So much association with worldly-minded people. So the court jester or the court joker. So Gopal Ban. So one day, the king, they were always in competition. The king said to Gopal Ban, who was, you know, just in front of the king, he said, Gopal, what's the difference between you and a donkey? And Gopal said, about 2 meters. So, what's the difference between people who take baths in a holy river? The purpose of going to a holy place is to meet the saintly persons there and to hear. Because anavriti shabdat, by sound you will be freed. Cheto darpana marjanam, the dust from the mirror of the heart will be cleansed. A mirror gives an image of yourself, and the mirror of the heart gives a true image of your spiritual identity. But if it's dusty and dirty, then you can't see. Therefore it has to be cleansed. And this is done by Param Vajayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, by the sound vibration of the holy name of Krishna, or by Krishna Katha, Srinvatam Sva Katha Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyantaksto, same thing, the heart, Hridi, Hridyantasto Yabhadrani. The heart is cleansed by discussing about Krishna, Katiyantastya Mam Nityam. So the devotees, they get great satisfaction and happiness by associating with devotees. But a foolish person, he falsely identifies the self with the body. And therefore, such a person cannot make spiritual advancement. He sees that I am the body. If I want to be happy, I have to gratify my senses, my tongue, my belly, my genital. The whole world is going on like this. People have got a skin disease. They have a skin disease. They think, this is me, the body, my tongue, my nose, my eyes, my ears. I will enjoy, I will be happy by providing facility for the body. But the body is destined to be finished. It has no future. Just like if someone is offering a job, announcement in the paper, loudspeaker all around Trinidad, everywhere, Port of Spain, and what is this area called? Something or other town, what? Longdonville? Okay. Someone is giving, we are hiring, we're now hiring. We're giving a job to anyone, no previous qualification. So the conditions are that you will work for me for about 50, 60 years, and at the end I will pay you zero salary. How many of you will sign up for such a job? Not too many. But the body is engaging you in his service, and the final payment is old age, disease, and death. But we're, you know, we're just bewildered. Krishna says, Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All living beings are my parts and parcels. All living beings are in me. They are mine. I have a relationship with them. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. Come out from your darkened condition. Come to me. Come to the light. Mami kam sharanam braja. Sarva dharman prityaja. Mami kam sharanam braja. Yesterday was Mother's Day. So mom, you gotta surrender to mom. Mami kam sharanam braja. No, mom means Krishna. Mother is in the heart, Krishna's in the heart of mother, that's all right. But how many mothers have we had in our lifetimes? Matravat paradareshu. A brahmachari should see all women as his mother. A householder can't do that because he can't see his wife as his mother. It won't work. But we have seven mothers, actually, in our culture. Adau Mata, the mother who gives you the body. Adau Mata, Guru Patni, the wife of the Guru. Formerly brahmacharis would live in the ashram would be in the country. They wouldn't see women. And women wouldn't see brahmacharis. They would cultivate good habits. Brahmacharis would, just like Rishya Sringa in the Bhagavatam, Rishya Sringa is mentioned, and he's there in the Puranas also. He was raised by his father in the forest. He never saw a woman in his life. So then this Janak, is it Janak? Huh? No, it was Ramapad. Yeah, he understood that his kingdom, there was a drought, and unless he brought, the Brahmins told him that he had to bring Rishyasringa to his kingdom. So he sent some heavenly prostitutes there, and Rishyasringa's father had gone out, he was in meditation, and the prostitutes were dancing in front of him, and you know, they're very nicely shaped. And he had good proportions. Bodies are designed like that. It's like magnet and iron filings. It's the way it is. Krishna says, I create male and female living entities so they can be eternally entangled in the material world. Maithuna agra, the shackles, the chains of sex. Anyway, Rishyasringa, when he saw them, he got bewildered. He said, what kind of brahmacharis are you? I haven't seen too many brahmacharis, but he didn't know what to do. So, generally a brahmachari would live in that consciousness, completely clean. Therefore, he could commune with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada was very clear about the material world. Sex makes the material world go round. Kamesha, Krodesha. This is our Vairinam, our real enemy, Kama. Either you desire, you're searching after the super soul, or you surrender to the super whole. But either way. That's the way it is. We have to get free from the bodily conception of life. And if we don't do that, then the final payment is old age, disease, and death. Birth, death, disease, old age, the five material miseries. You know what the five material miseries are? You know? Birth, death, disease, old age, and new age. You gotta be careful of the new age. Anyway, it's a lot of miseries. Therefore, Krishna says, sukha dukkha same kritva. Same, sama, equipoised, equal-minded, steady, stittadir, munir uchate. It's called a stittadi muni. Sukha dukkha same kritva. Labha, labhau. In profit and in loss. For a devotee, he's working for Krishna, and he's not attached to the results. He's attached to the results, but in a mood of service. And if Krishna takes it away, and it's not his ignorance, it's Krishna's mercy, then he's not attached. Labha, labhau, jaya, jayo. In victory or defeat. Can you imagine how America would have been destroyed if they had been defeated by the Iraqis? They wouldn't be able to show their face anywhere in the world. They weren't equipoised, that's for sure. Anyway. Top Gun, George Bush. Equipoised. Sukha dukkha same. Labha jaya jaya. Tato yudaya yujasva naivam papam avapshasi. If you act, whatever is your service, if you act without attachment, even if it's fighting, like Arjuna, generally devotees are nonviolent. But if someone attacks the temple or attacks the deities, Hanuman and Arjuna were two of the biggest devotees and warriors in history. We're not softies, you know, like you get this ice cream, softy ice cream, put it in a cone. We're not like that. We can fight, but generally our choice is to not hurt even an ant. But if we act for Krishna's satisfaction, whatever activity, if it's under the guidance of sadhu, guru, and shastra, then there's no sin involved. There's karma, vikarma, and akarma. Akarma is activity which has no reaction attached to it. One can be liberated even in this lifetime. Jivan mukta so uchate. Kamana manasa gira nikilasvapi avastasu jivan mukta so uchate. One who acts with body, mind, and words for the satisfaction of the Lord. And that's what we're training here. We are being trained to see Krishna everywhere in everything. We're being trained to see Krishna even in this lifetime. Rasoham apsukonteya, when we drink pure water from the mountain stream, that taste so satisfying. Krishna. Prabhasmi sasashurayo, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. When we see the sun, the beautiful sun going, I saw the sunset this evening. Beautiful. Krishna.
The sunrise, Udilo Aruna, Purava Bhagi. And the rising sun appears in the east. We see that. Aruna, the beginning, the yellow coming up over the horizon. Oh, Krishna. In that way, we're being trained to see Krishna everywhere in our service, in our life, in our social life, in our family life, in our study life, in every aspect of our lives. So that's the process. And as such, there's nothing that is unpleasant. Krishna says that we have to be equal both in happiness and distress, sukha dukkha same. So I can understand about being equipoised in distress, but what does Krishna mean be equipoised in happiness? You mean I can't enjoy happiness? I can see, oh, this is very painful, I better be steady, not get disturbed. But in happiness, if I win, you know, $1 million, or if I get some great benefit, if I become the temple president, or, you know, something really wonderful like that. I'm just joking, of course. It's the biggest headache. But how do we remain equipoised? Because we understand the science of Krishna consciousness. If you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other end of the stick too. If you're attached to happiness, material happiness, if you get attached to enjoying the fruits of your work, if you get attached to enjoying the fruits of your work, if you get attached to enjoying your bodies, you'll be attached to the suffering, the old age, the disease, the death. You can't have one without the other. Therefore, we have to remain equipoised, but we can relish Anandam Buddhivardhanam, the ocean of pleasure which comes from serving Krishna. It's an acquired taste. In the beginning, it's like having jaundice and drinking sugarcane juice. Do you have sugarcane juice here?
Yeah.
Is it good sugarcane juice?
Yeah.
Is it better than Maharashtra and Kolhapur and Solapur? You sure? You're going to have to prove it to me. I'm serious. But if you have jaundice, then that sugarcane juice tastes bitter in the beginning. But it's a cure. It's one kind of a cure for jaundice or hepatitis A. So as you go on taking it, it gets sweeter and sweeter. As you get cured, the sweet taste, the rasa of the sugarcane juice, the taste comes through. So similarly, as you get cured from the bodily conception of life, adal sraddha, tatha sadhu sangota, tatha bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti sya, tatha nistas, tatha prema. Gradually, as you get free from your anarthas, your faith increases. And when you achieve steady faith in the philosophy, in Krishna, in the devotees, in the holy name, my Vartma Pradarshaka Guru, the first devotee that I met who engaged me in devotional service, was Jayananda Das. So Jayananda, his preaching was wonderful. He was very simple. And he used to preach so sincerely, you just have to have faith in the holy name. And he did. The holy name is non-different than Krishna.
Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Vinatvam Nama Namino. The holy name can act just like touchstone, Chintamani. It's like you touch fire. Whether you understand it or not, you get burned. And if you hear the holy name, even if it is Nama Bhas, even if someone chants jokingly, or one sees Ramada in, if he sees Rama, he's getting benefit. He's getting benefit. So, by chanting the holy names, one can rise above the bodily platform of life and experience transcendental ecstasy. That ananda is different than sukha and dukkha. So, this is the absolute truth. Generally, people in this world, they take shelter of everything else but the holy name. Prabhupada once commented and laughed, actually, and spoke about a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine. And one young man is going to his mother, and she's dying, and he's telling her, chant, chant, chant. And she's saying, can't, can't, can't. You know, she could have chanted, but with the same energy, but she wouldn't. So, it's so easy to chant the names of God. I lived for a few months in Iran, Tehran. There we had a nice temple at the corner of Koh and Shahreza, Avenue Shemsad. We had one Govindas. It's all Farsi. And so we used to teach the young Muslim boys to chant the names of Allah. If we taught them to chant the names of Krishna, they might have helped us to remove our heads from our bodies. I can tell you how you can immediately lose about 10 kilos of ugly fat. Cut your head off. Anyway, we taught them to chant the names of Allah. If someone chants the holy name sincerely, then vinatvam nama namino. There's no difference. Krishna's dancing on your tongue. Krishna and Krishna's name. He's the same chit potency. It will act in the same way. So I'm going to stop there. If there are any questions, we can entertain a few questions. Otherwise, as I said, we'll be here for this week till Friday. And Anuttama Prabhu, my godbrother and longtime devotee since the early 70s, one of the first brahmacharis to come and preach here in Trinidad, he will also be speaking. So, are there any questions? Yes?
But who is actually looking into the mirror?
That is a symbolical mirror. There's no mirror in the heart. We have an image of ourself, who I am, a sense of. It's called ego. And at the present moment, we think I am the body. The soul has senses. The soul has mind and intelligence. It is not that it is devoid of form. In fact, just like you cut your shirt according to the shape of your body, cut your cloth according to your size, Similarly, this material body is a manifestation of the soul's desire to exploit the material energy. Being minute, the soul has mistakenly tried to be independent of Krishna. And as such, just like a child was with his mother in the evening and the moon comes out and the child says, "Mommy, Mommy, give me the moon." Quiet, dear. "Mommy, Mommy, I want the moon." And then the child begins to cry like that child on the airplane right beside us when we came down here. And then the mother can't ignore the child. Says, "All right, take the moon." Gives the child a mirror, and the child looks in the mirror. "Ah, thank you, Mommy." So we have foolishly tried to enjoy, and therefore Krishna gives us this sense that I am the body. It's called false ego. But the actual ahankar is the Sanskrit word. The Latin word is ego, and it means I am. So when we understand that I am Jivarsvup Hoy Nitir Krishna Das Tatasta Shakti Veda Vedra, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That's pure here. That's the mirror cleansed. And when the mirror is dusty or dirty, then we, the ego is, it's got cirrhosis. Can't act properly. Can't do its job. Is that all right? Is that clear? Did I? Huh? I can't hear.
Not digested.
I can give you a little digestive powder. Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Earlier in the class, you were speaking about the people who identify with their bodies, thinking they are their bodies and trying to be happy through that body. What devotees who do that?
What devotees do that?
When we maintain a consciousness of.
Did you say what devotees do that?
When devotees.
When devotees do that, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they endeavor, they try to derive pleasure from the body. Also.
Yeah, I know all about it. That I do that. Yeah.
How much of a difference is it?
How much of a difference?
We the devotees are from.
Oh, well, we are under the protection of Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna is so kind, he's so loving, that he will put us in the right situation so that we will give up our false crutch. You know, when someone has a broken leg, they get a crutch to help them walk and, you know, it's under the arm. So we've got these crutches that help us to move in the material world. But just like Lord Brahma, or Lord Indra rather, he offended his guru Brihaspati. So Brihaspati cursed him to become a pig. So he came down to earth and he was a pig and he had a she pig and of course lots of little piglets and he was having a very good time rolling in the mud and eating stool. And now it used to be Indra living in a palace and served by all the demigods and, you know, such entertainment. But now he was a pig and really enjoying.
But the heavenly planets were not being managed. There was chaos. Sometimes we think, oh, that guy was a bad leader. We got rid of him. Now we're really good. You know, we got rid of that bad leader. Then we have no leader, and then there's anarchy, and everybody suffers. So sometimes it's better to have a blind uncle than no uncle. So anyway, everybody realized that Indra had to come back and take up his post of management. So even Lord Brahma went down to him and said, you know, get back, Jojo. Get back to where you belong. So Indra said, I can't leave. I have my sheep pig. I have my piglets. I have a mortgage on a stool pond. And so then Brahma took the ultimate action. He killed his wife and kids. Of course, their souls were liberated. Or at least they went from pig to the next higher species, whatever. But at that point, Indra realized that he was in Maya. So he went back to the heavenly planets. So sometimes Krishna will put us in a difficult situation to make us aware of our foolishness, to force us to surrender, is for our ultimate good. We may think for a while that we're enjoying, just like our friend Tarksha. I won't say anything. I forget, I can't remember his name, but anyway. You know. You know, I've seen so many devotees make mistakes, fall down, and think that they're enjoying, but they'll get smashed either this lifetime or the next, and hopefully they'll come back to Krishna consciousness. So we, although we may appear to sometimes, Krishna says, ye yatha mam prapadyante, there's proportion in everything we do. Just like one of the last things that Prabhupada attempted to do was to come to the West and teach Varnashram Dharma. Now, we were always taught Varnashram Dharma is for others. We're Brahmanas. But actually, to the degree that we're still attached to the modes of material nature, we do need Varnashram Dharma. Division of labor, so that we can work peacefully and execute devotional service. Some people are sudras, and they'll be happy doing that kind of work for Krishna. They may not be fully in the mode of passion and ignorance, but it may predominate. Or they may be in the mode of goodness and passion. And maybe they should study and like Gopi Puranadana. Definitely brahminical, although he's done some non-brahminical things in his life, but he's definitely brahminical, and he should, you know, Gopi Puranadana, yeah, translated the 11th, 12th canto and 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, finished Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, very scholarly. He lives with his second wife, a Russian, very good devotee. And their little son, Gaur Mohan. They live in Govardhan. Gaur Mohan, little child, precocious as anything. I mean, really. He goes around, he has his cows, and he wants to build a Gaur Mohan temple. And he's about 5, 6 years old or something, you know. He initiates babies. He gives them the baby mantra. It's really wonderful little kid, you know. He's being brought up in Govardhan. He's like a little Brijabasi. He is a Brijabasi. So, like, even amongst devotees, there are these divisions. Although, in one sense, like Drona was a Brahmana, but he taught military art.
So Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce Varnashram Dharma because he saw that devotees were unhappy. They didn't know what work to do, what duty to do. He wanted to train the leaders to be able to guide devotees how they should work. I remember once there was a group of devotees in Los Angeles. You know, they liked to play with guns and they liked martial arts. So just very whimsically they called themselves the Kshatriyas. You know, they'd like pumping iron and whatever. And they had a little club, kind of, the Kshatriya club. They protected the temple a little bit, but for the most part, they just, you know, they liked martial arts and guns and things. They weren't real Kshatriyas, like in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, the divisions of faith, he defines what is a Kshatriya. So Prabhupada wanted to give us clear guidelines. Now that may come someday. It'll never be what it was in Dwapar Yuga. But to a degree we'll be better off. So, what was your question again? I really got lost in that one. What was your question?
Difference between
us and the non-devotees. Well, the difference is that we try to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. And the degree to which we can do that, at least we're on the path. At least we have a little knowledge. We may not be perfect in our execution, but if we want to proceed, we can do. There's no real obstacles. Ahoy tukiya pratyata yatma supersedati. Apratyata means no interruption. We do not have excuses why I gave up chanting, why I gave up sadhana, why I gave up reading Bhagavad Gita or associating with devotees. Oh, I didn't like the GBC, or the temple, they didn't paint it orange like I told them they should. There's no, for a real devotee, he goes on serving in any condition. Even if Krishna physically gives him a challenge, then he could take that as an excuse and retire. But he doesn't. He just keeps going. Srila Prabhupada kept going until the last breath. He was on his deathbed. He could hardly, you know, he was all skin and bones. There was no flesh in between the skin and bones. And still, with the microphone to his mouth, you could barely hear him. He was translating purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't stop. And that's the price. Tatra lolyam api ekalam mulyam. We have to be so intense in our desire to become surrendered to Krishna, our desire to become a lover of God, so greedy, so lusty after devotional service. Then we can be successful. There are many obstacles in the material world, both physical and mental. Durga Devi, she has her trishul, three prong. Yeah. Like they have these shish kebabs or whatever. So she has adidaivik, adibhautik, adiatmik klesha. And she's pricking us constantly. She's expert to keep us here. She has avaranatmika shakti, covering potency, and prachapatmika. When we try to get out, we get a little exit, we find a hole in the wall, the Berlin Wall, you know, we find a way through. She throws us back down again. You have to be determined. When she sees that you're determined, that you're steady, not that you're determined for 1 week, then you give up, or 3 months. You have to be steady and determined to execute Krishna consciousness. Even if there's no other devotees in Trinidad, I will be there serving Prabhupada. Grantra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki.